doing some...
Hey, we're live, guys. Hello, everybody. This is Bracket Racket on Hoops HD. Glad to have you folks joining us once again as we're back to talk college basketball. It's been... Well, we're a day late, and that's my fault. I was deathly ill yesterday, but I'm feeling much better now. And happy to have the
this
full...
Is what, yeah.
What? Yes, David.
This is what happens when you go out partying with me.
It's true. I do not have the liver of David Griggs. I don't have the fins either, so it's a problem. But David Griggs joining us here on the Bracket Racket. David, quickly, are you feeling better about yourself than Greg Marshall feels that you feel about him?
Absolutely. Okay. I always feel good about myself.
Yes. Do your people feel good about you, though?
No, they don't.
I figured not. No.
They're not supposed to.
Kyle Lamb with us as well. Kyle, what's shaking?
Not much. It's fitting that we're a day late because I'm always a dollar short.
Yes, yes, you are. I don't really have a good comeback to that. That's good finishing material. I like that. Lee Delvecchio joining us. Lee, you've got an interesting ranking on your board there.
Yeah, no, I mean, myself along with everyone who's ever claimed to be in the college basketball media are here in Indianapolis for the mock selection committee, and we're really debating the things that matter, which are the coach rankings. I actually think Crean's too high on this, but, you know, it took, it was just Dokic and I screaming at each other for about 2 hours, but the ice cream buffet is coming along in 50 minutes, and that's really the most important part of this.
I am curious about the ice cream buffet. Yes, David?
It's all the ice cream you can eat.
Which is pretty impressive. I just wonder where they get it from. Have we ever established that?
I'm sure it's an NCAA sponsor of some sort, and I'm sure being an NCAA ice cream buffet, somehow it has neither vanilla nor chocolate.
It's all just gray. All the ice cream is gray.
It's pistachio, Rocky Road. They've told us cookie dough is a maybe.
let's keep Jimmy Dykes away from this because he'll break this down into condiment categories.
Yeah, like, we don't.
The only topping they give us is butterscotch. It's really weird.
Ice cream. I don't know why it's that, but I mean, there's a pasta buffet the first night, I think, it's all the ice cream you want.
So they want to carb you up the first night, and then they want to overload you with sugar on the second night. Some problems here.
Pasta buffet. Galen, you and I are going to do a 2-hour podcast just ranking the pastas, aren't we?
I think Mustacholi is a definite number one, without question.
You're wrong, but we'll move on to basketball.
Anyway, basketball. We got a lot to get through, and we've only got about 50 minutes to do so. So, anyway, guys, lots of things obviously going on in college basketball. We're really into the home stretch when it comes to this season. Obviously, some big news from the weekend. I want to start with the team that everybody, particularly in the basketball media, but even just regular fans, have just decided to go nuts over, somewhat for good reason, but we need to tap the brakes, and that's what I want to talk about, and that's Florida. Florida, 23-2, they're 12-0. They are second right now in the coaches and AP polls. Everybody's got them as a one seed, and I think rightfully so. But they beat Kentucky on the road by 10, and everybody immediately said, oh, this is obviously the main contender for the national championship game. And I just, guys, I think Florida is very good. I think they've got an excellent array of talent. I think they've obviously got an excellent coach. I think they've played very well. But I don't see how winning at a Kentucky team that still has not put it all together and frankly isn't going to put it all together this season, I don't see how that vaults them into obvious favorite for the national title position just on its face. So, I don't know. Lee, let me start with you. What are your thoughts on Florida and where they fit into this whole thing right now?
I would agree with you in that people are naturally overvaluing a win at Rupp Arena. I think part of that is because this group of Florida seniors have never done it. I don't think that it's nearly as impressive a win as it would have been 2 years ago. It's more impressive than it would have been last year. But I thought Florida was the best team in the country for a couple of weeks. So for me, it doesn't really change much. I'm almost approaching it as we always talk about the committee looking at the team you have. You can make the argument that the Florida team that's in the tournament is undefeated. And that's why I put them right in the discussion with Syracuse. I think they're a better team than Syracuse right now. I think they should be ranked number one, but it doesn't matter. But it has nothing to do with beating a very mediocre Kentucky team, which is, I mean, if you ever need a reason to why the top 25 doesn't matter, Kentucky's still in it, and they're in the top 20.
Now, Lee, We all be damned if I let you sit here and downplay this win. Kentucky would be 40-0 against a schedule full of teams they should beat when played at times that is conducive to winning for Kentucky.
True.
Kyle,
and if the media wasn't rooting for Kentucky to lose in every game, forgot about
right.
that one.
I mean, Calipari is under a pressure that no other coach and no other sport has to put up with.
Except for Tom Crean. Anyway.
Thank God we have the blogosphere to keep everyone honest, because they always are the only people defending Kentucky.
That's true.
Look at it. I mean, it makes sense to have Kentucky and Syracuse people on the same side of the same argument because they love stupid T-shirts.
Okay. Okay. Kyle, let me throw this to you. Is Florida in the pole position right now for the NCAA title, in your opinion?
I think they're the most balanced team. I don't think that they're the most explosive team, but I think from top to bottom, in terms of just all around, you know, good blend of inside-outside play, good guards, quickness, athleticism, defense, I think they're the most complete team. I don't know if they've got the highest ceiling. I think they're pretty much set in their ways. We know what they are. I don't think their upper-level game is as good as maybe Arizona at full strength or it's hard to put Syracuse in that category right now, but I do think that they are the most complete team right now. If I had to put money down on one team, I would probably put it on Florida just because of their balance and versatility.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, as far as topping the S-curve, I think Florida's the better team. I think the committee would value Syracuse more now just because they have more weight on their resume.
I would agree with that. That's fair.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that Kyle didn't pick Cincinnati, but that's a whole different matter.
The one thing I am cautious about, and this is a problem that a lot of teams have, is that Florida, despite the fact they're a very complete team, they don't have a very good schedule down the stretch, and it's not their fault. They're playing in maybe the weakest of all the power conferences. But you know, that Kentucky game on the road, that is probably the toughest game that they will play in the entirety of their season. From the neutral court game they won against Memphis on the 17th of December until maybe the second or third game that they play in the NCAA tournament, the game at Rupp will be the toughest game they play.
Yep.
It's easy to get an inflated opinion of yourself and to think that what you're doing is working and is going to work in every circumstance if you're simply not playing against that difficult a competition. I mean, we criticize Wichita State for having a bad schedule, and while Florida isn't that bad, the runout that they're going to have due to the SEC isn't going to be that great, David.
Right, and again, it is a concern. I think we've seen that before, where good teams that don't play in the strong heavyweight leagues tend to sweat it out or struggle in the NCAA tournament. We saw it with Gonzaga last year. But again, Florida really, their out-of-conference schedule was pretty impressive. It's not as if this team has no experience at all.
Right.
Or they haven't been there at all. I think they're going to be more ready than Gonzaga was last year, but it is a legitimate concern. Like, when you're suddenly in a game against a team that's better than what you're used to playing, you're at a disadvantage if that team has played that kind of heavy lifting before. And when you get into the later rounds of the tournament from the Sweet 16 on, that's typically the case.
I just think, I mean, they're really a Shabazz-Napier prayer away from kind of, I think, nobody really questioning it to the number one team in the country. I mean, they'd have the one loss at Wisconsin, which seems like it was forever ago. And,
God,
as much as they got an unlucky break on that shot, Syracuse, I mean, the size, I don't know if I'm more impressed with the size of the horseshoe or its girth.
Or how deeply it's lodged in their ass.
Yeah. I mean, God, they certainly didn't win the game Saturday. NC State sure as shit lost it. I mean, that was embarrassing.
Yeah. Let's jump over to another team towards the top of the S-curve, and that's Arizona. Now, Arizona, of course, lost in somewhat controversial fashion at Arizona State this past weekend. There should have – you know, here's the thing. I cannot get worked up over this because of the karmic debt that had to be repaid for that Colorado game last year that Arizona won. So, to me, it was fine.
No, like, Javon Galen, every year is different.
That's right. Every year is different. But the officials are bad every year. So that's the one consistent thing we have. But no, the thing is, I look at it and I say to myself, okay, Arizona, I mean, they're still playing very well for the most part. I mean, they did struggle a little bit against Oregon, and they struggled against Arizona State, but that's not that big of a deal. But ultimately, I don't think they're going to get one seed, because even if they don't lose another game, the committee's going to look at them and they're going to look at the loss of Ashley, and they're going to say, well, you know, much like they did with Cincinnati a few years ago, and much over a decade ago, and much as they've done with some other teams, there's going to be a penalty paid for missing a key player when the seeding comes around. So first off, Kyle, let me throw this to you first. Do you agree that at the end of the day, Arizona does not get a one seed? And if you do, who do you think benefits the most from that?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, to be honest, they really haven't played that well since Ashley went down. I mean, they're 2-2 without him so far.
That's fair.
And
that's
like
fair.
You mentioned, the Oregon game, they were losing for about 35 minutes, and then, you know, they really didn't, you know, take control of that game until the very end. So, you know, they really have not played very well since he went down. Now, I don't think that his injury and his departure has been a huge issue in that. I think some of it was they were due probably to play some close games eventually. But I think you're absolutely right, though. I think you have to look at that. And right now, I mean, you know, I was kind of thinking the other day, you know, that maybe Villanova was in good shape, you know, with the demise of Ashley, but then Villanova went out and got rocked by Creighton again. So now I'm not so sure. But, you know, I think right now that the team that could sneak back up there, and we all hate to say it, we all hate to hear it, but I think Duke is the team that could benefit from
Arizona.
I'm just saying, keep an eye out on that. You know, they've got Syracuse coming up this week, which I'm sure we'll talk about here shortly. I just think they've got a lot of good wins. They're playing better. I hate to say it, but I think Duke could end up on that one line on account of Arizona potentially falling.
It would be a sad day when a team that lost to Notre Dame and Clemson in the same season got a one seed. But it is entirely possible. I'm sure that there would be some talking into that. Because you look at Duke's run out the rest of the way. They've got North Carolina twice. I think they're going to win both of those games relatively easily. The Syracuse game is going to be tough because they've got to play it 2 days after traveling to Chapel Hill. And that's obviously just an accident of weather more than anything else. Although if you believe the rumors, it's also an accident of Duke pussying out due to the North Carolina wanting to give all the alumni tickets to students. But who knows what the actual story is with that. But regardless, it would be interesting if Duke managed to sneak in there. Honestly, Kyle, I still like Villanova, even with the loss to Creighton. I mean, so they've lost to Creighton twice. Maybe that's a bit of a kryptonite. They've still got a hell of a resume overall. But let me circle back to David Griggs, though, and ask him the question I asked you originally.
I think it's Kansas. I know Kansas has six losses, but as Kyle has pointed out, their average their strength of schedule is so high. Their average opponent has an RPI of, I believe, 54, 55. It's really high. They beat Duke on a neutral floor. Like, their losses at Florida, you know, at Texas, at Colorado, these are teams that are very tough to beat at home. I know Nova did beat them on a neutral floor, but to have the kinds of wins they have against Duke away from home, at Iowa State, at Oklahoma, to have that kind of strength of schedule, to go out on the road and play the teams that they did out of conference, I just think the committee's going to give them a one. And then I think Wichita State, who I don't think deserves to be up there, will be the other one. So,
well, I guess that's what I was getting at. And Lee, since you're in Indianapolis, debating this, maybe you could answer this. But I mean, really, if in a just world, I feel like Kansas and Villanova should get one seeds over Wichita State at this point, right?
I would agree with that. I still really like Arizona. I still think they're going to do enough down the stretch, even without Ashley, to get a one seed. I really do. I think the team's that good. But, if there's two spots available, I don't see any way, if it's a Duke-Kansas argument, I agree with David. I don't see how Duke wins there. I mean, every single checkmark would be in Kansas's column except for the one loss record, which is irrelevant when Kansas played a significantly tougher strength of schedule. And for years, the committee talks about go out and play people. If there was ever a team that deserved a reward, even with a few more losses than you'd like to see. God, it's got to be this Kansas team.
Yeah,
and also, Villanova, I mean, you want to talk about things to work on? Here's what's Villanova's thing to work on. Don't play Creighton again. If they can not play Creighton again, they'll be fine. Unfortunately, they'll probably play them in the Big East Tournament Final. Creighton's going to have more people at the Garden, and they're probably going to lose by 20. So, I mean,
he's right, yeah.
I know.
I think Villanova, I mean, will be the two I would at least want to face. I expect Wichita State and Kansas to get ones. I just do at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
If Kansas Wichita goes
State,
for the double,
I've gone from thinking Wichita State would be nice for them to get one to being very alarmed in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I think if they're undefeated, Wichita State's going to get one. I just have a feeling they will.
This isn't a just world. Wichita State's going to end up no worse than probably two, and they're going to get in one seed. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, if they're four, as I've said before, it's four or five on the S-curve, don't matter. So unless you really have a thing against one team's like road jersey, it's irrelevant. So it's really a matter of, do you think Wichita State's a top five team on your S-curve?
David, were you going to say something else?
Oh, if Kansas goes for the double, if they finish first, which they're on pace to do, and they win the Big 12 tournament, how in the world do they not get a one?
I would agree with that.
Because the NCAA likes to reward stupid stuff. That's about all I can think of. I mean, but you're
like
right. I mean, right. Let's talk about the team that we've danced around in this, and that's Syracuse. I mean, Syracuse, they have had some struggles, shall we say, over the last couple of weeks. The game at home against Duke, they went to overtime. They ended up winning that game, but they, you know, the game at Pitt, they should have lost. They ended up winning that one. The North Carolina State game, highly questionable. They've got a difficult run out down the stretch here. They have to travel to Duke, as we mentioned, on this Saturday. They have to travel to Virginia the following Saturday. Pomeroy rates both of those games as losses.
Yeah.
If Syracuse loses twice, David, do you see them being in danger of losing the one seed if everybody else is holding serve?
I don't think so, because, I mean, if they lose twice and it's at Duke and at Virginia, that isn't really – they still have a one seed caliber resume with their wins. So, it could happen, but I don't think – I mean, even with that, especially if they go out into the conference tournament and avoid a bad loss in that, you're talking about losing at places. Does Virginia have a home loss other than VCU?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, so you're talking about losing at two teams that had a combined grand total of one loss at home, I believe. So how do you really punish them too much for that?
Well, I guess the question would be, it's not so much punishing them, but if you're looking at everything in concert with each other, if we're looking at Florida and we're saying, well, they should be a one seed, and we're looking at Wichita State and saying, well, they didn't lose, they're going to be a one seed, and if we're looking at Kansas and we're saying, well, look at their schedule, it was better than Syracuse's, they have to have a one seed, and then we got, if an Arizona team doesn't lose again the rest of the way, I see this sort of issue building up where even though the committee says that they're not looking specifically at the last 10 games, you know, the perception around Syracuse right now almost feels like they're not as good as their record indicates, which seems kind of silly. But it's an interesting talking point, I think, because we've just kind of written Syracuse into that one seed spot and not thought about it. Maybe we need to think about it a little bit if they end up stumbling down the stretch, because they also have to go to Maryland, which, while Maryland isn't that great of a team, it's also a place that Syracuse hasn't played in a long time, certainly not in conference play. And it is sandwiched between those two games, so that could be a bit of an issue.
Let me just say this real quick. This isn't really per se seeding, you know, from a seeding perspective, but it's, as far as qualitatively about Syracuse, the only way you believe they're a great team is if you buy into the media narrative that they're the world's best clutch team ever.
Yes,
because
yes.
That's the only way to explain them, you know, being unscathed through all these close calls. They're either the greatest, you know, clutch team ever, or they're just not a great team. They're a good team, not a great team.
I actually would be very surprised if they don't get a one. I mean, I think if they get one of those games, the Duke or the Virginia game, I think it almost kind of sews it up. That said, I mean, the media narrative's wrong on Syracuse, because it's not like they're really making a lot of plays at the end of these games. I mean, But Syracuse didn't make North Carolina State forget how to play basketball.
North Carolina State does that all by themselves. They don't need the help.
What a shock. They don't have the calm collectedness of Mark Gottfried to settle them down in key situations. Yeah.
Where does Mark Gottfried rank on your coach rankings up there?
349.
349. Hey, well, you know, guys, one thing I want to mention for all the pacists out there, if we had a top four seeds of Florida, Syracuse, Arizona, and Wichita State, we would have teams with the following paces. Florida has a pace of 329. Arizona has a pace of 291. Syracuse is currently running with a pace of 345, and Wichita State is running with a pace of 242.
Have we ever had the first thing everyone says at the Final Four? These teams love to run in transition.
Syracuse in conference offensively is averaging 24 seconds per offensive possession.
It's insane.
They are absolutely just. I mean, they are taking slow down to a whole new...
Well, I mean, they always take their time. I mean, you know.
We've always said, you know, that we wanted something weird to happen to the ACC, and all we needed was Syracuse and Pitt to join, and it absolutely changed the way the conference looks. Yes, in conference, Syracuse is averaging 55.6 possessions a game.
Oh, my God.
I don't think people realize how slow that is.
Oh, whoa.
Tony Bennett is offended by that.
Even the Wisconsin teams lately that people make fun of were averaging over 60 possessions.
Virginia is averaging 61 possessions a game. They are a full 6 possessions a game fat. They're going to have to speed Syracuse up in their game coming up here in a couple of weeks.
That's going to be fascinating to watch. Yeah. I continue to root for Iowa and Iowa State both to make the Final Four. Just
that'd be awesome.
Some sort of intensity to it. I mean, so at least when people talk about how fast the teams are, those teams will be in it and people will be surprised at the amount of transition play.
Yeah.
Like that'll be what it is.
Yeah. So anyway, it's an interesting picture at the top, and we've talked about this a bit. Let's talk more about the bottom of the bubble. It hasn't really gotten any better looking for those of you who have been doing your bracketology like good little boys and girls. I think the problem we're running into now is we're really starting to see certain teams hurting themselves to the point that they're almost unrecoverable. So there's a game going on right now out there, Oklahoma State versus Baylor. Believe it or not, both of these teams are still in the mix for tournament bids. But whoever loses today is really who's trailing in this game right now?
Baylor,
of course, because that makes sense.
Yeah. They can't have nice things.
They cannot have nice things.
Yes.
Right now, Baylor is 4-8 in conference. They're 4-6 in road and neutral games. Oklahoma State's 4-8 in conference and on a 6-game losing streak. And and 5-6 in road and neutral games. Their overall resumes aren't terrible. Like, I mean, they both have decent wins. But and I think if you took the conference record out of play, you would probably put them both in, even though they've played poorly. But the conference record, you can't be, you know, 4 games under 500 in your conference and get into the tournament. I mean, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah,
it happened once about 11, 12 years ago.
Yeah, and everybody laughed their asses off when it happened.
And everyone went nuts when Seton Hall didn't get in at like 10-9. I mean, in the same year. I think the Big 12 is great. It's awesome. But it's, like you said, Galen, it's really hard to justify taking a team that's like 6-10 in the Big 12 or 8-14. It's tough. It's a tough sell.
Go ahead,
especially
Kyle.
When we have Nebraska to choose from now.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Well,
thank you. This is part of the problem, though, because you have teams like Oklahoma State and Baylor and Oregon and Minnesota, and you could probably throw Arkansas into this mix. You could probably throw LSU into this mix. They've got wins, but they're underperforming. And then you've got teams like Nebraska who don't really have the wins, although Nebraska is slowly building them. But they're playing much better. And I guess I'm really curious what you guys think will happen with the committee, because all these teams like that were, you know, like Oklahoma State and Oregon, they're either treading water or going downhill. They seem to be moving in the exact opposite direction from the direction that you want tournament teams moving in. If this trend continues over the next 3 weeks, which direction do you see the committee going? Kyle, let me start with you on this.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing a lot. I haven't done a lot of focus on the seed list this year. I've been looking at individual profiles, though,
right.
And more so I've been looking for trends recently. And the more I look the last 3 years, there is a clear type of team the committee takes. A, teams that schedule tough out of conference. B, teams that pick up wins away from home and aren't home court heroes. And C, you know, teams that, you know, basically you have to, you know, at least play a decent amount of games away from home as, you know, relative to your schedule. And I think, you know, there are better teams than teams like Nebraska. You know, there's a lot of A-10 teams that fit this profile. Nebraska fits the profile right now, especially with the road win over Michigan State the other day.
Right.
And I also, and I hate to say this, I really hate to say this, bracketologists will hate me for this, but BYU fits the profile.
No, you're right.
You know, I think those are the types of teams, the A-10 teams, Nebraska, BYU, these are the type of teams that you need to keep an eye on, because I think you're going to see some of them get in.
I did a bracket yesterday, and I didn't publish it or anything because I was horrified by it. But David, my last four in were Colorado, which isn't that bad, I don't think.
I mean, you could at least make a case for them.
Marquette.
I don't see that.
Oh,
Florida State, who I would have them out now, but I didn't have them out yesterday.
Wait, and Tennessee, it's still only 68 teams. North Carolina
and Tennessee.
Wow.
Well, so, my last team in was Metro State, who's currently ranked number one in Division II.
I can't argue with that. But I look at the teams that I had just out. Oklahoma State, who I just mentioned my reasons why. Baylor, who I also just mentioned my reasons why. And then Minnesota, who this was before the Northwestern game, so I might have bumped them in ahead of Florida State. And then I guess Clemson would have been my fourth.
Oh. It's
I know, but who else am I supposed to be putting in? Like,
do you have Georgetown in the mix?
Georgetown I had in.
Okay.
I had them like four spots ahead of the last four.
Come on, Galen. Just say St. John's and we'll be done with it.
I had them in. I had them as a 9 seed.
Oh,
I had St. John's as a 9 seed.
As a 9. Oh, brother. Oh.
I mean, better than Galen, some of the teams you mentioned.
This is what happens when you go out partying with me.
You're going to drive David Griggs to alcohol.
No. Here's the thing. Who am I supposed to put in? Like, this is the last 10 at-large teams I had in. I mentioned Tennessee, Florida State, Marquette, Colorado.
You have Richmond and St. Joe's.
I don't have either of them in.
See, I think they...
But here's my problem with Richmond. They have one win. That's UMass. That's it.
And that win might be sliding off the scale of impressiveness, but... I still like. It's gonna come down to Galen when you get down there. Compare the teams. Look, the reason why I think Nebraska's in really good shape is a win at Michigan State is a much bigger chip than any of the teams you've mentioned have to play.
Well,
like, what is the chip?
I don't know if I agree with that. Well, no, wait, hold on a second. Hold on. Well, Clemson beat Duke at home. I mean,
right.
you have Colorado beat Kansas at home.
Yeah, but Clemson.
Go ahead.
But Clemson winning at home against Duke is not remotely as impressive as winning at Michigan State, right?
But winning at Michigan State when Michigan State is missing, you know, a key player and is still reintegrating their roster, I don't think it's as impressive. Michigan State has been flaky this year. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, they're a good team. I love Michigan State. I think they're going to be a national title contender, but they have been very flaky in a lot of their games.
Come on, this is a Michigan State team that clearly at full strength is better than anybody on earth.
But they're not at full strength. That's my point. They're not at full strength.
I mean, well, hold on. I mean, if Harvard only had – no, I won't even go there. the fact is, first of all, Duke – if you're going to talk about past history, Duke freaking always loses at Little John, just like they always struggle at Florida State. I think a road win at for Nebraska Michigan State, even with schizo Michigan State, is a better chip than Clemson winning at home against Duke.
Okay. The problem is, though, Nebraska, if we're going to go down that road, Nebraska also has a loss to UAB.
Well, it was on a neutral floor.
Well, it's still a loss to UAB.
Well, where do you have North Carolina?
But North Carolina lost to UAB.
And North Carolina also...
Does Nebraska have a better profile than North Carolina? Is that that crazy of a statement?
Nebraska's 14 and 10, guys. They're 14 and 10.
Fine.
But Nebraska isn't a one-trick pony, though. They do have two good home wins as well. I mean, Ohio State and Minnesota are good home wins.
I agree.
It's a three-trick pony, but still, that's more than one.
Well, where do you have UAB seated? I mean, they're at the top of North Carolina and Nebraska.
They're at the top of my CBI bracket right now. They're playing Indiana in the first round.
You know, I tell you, you guys are going to laugh, but I'm saying this halfway serious. I kind of do wonder how the committee is going to value the Georgia win for Nebraska, because it is a neutral court win against a top 100 team. We all know the Georgia sucks.
They're going to value it more than they should.
Listen, hear me out. We all know Georgia sucks.
But I'm agreeing with you, Kyle.
They're top 100 in RPI, and they're 8-4 in the SEC.
Kyle, they're going to value it.
We just also, going back to Nebraska, they are with the win at Michigan State, they are 3-9 in road and neutral games. I mean, they've only won 25% of their games away from home.
It was SMU, though.
Well, SMU, I got that right here. Hold on. SMU is...
They're 4-5, aren't they?
No, they're 7-5 in road and neutral games.
I bet Nebraska's had significantly tougher road games than SMU has. I've seen some of these places they play road games, SMU.
Well, if you want to twist things around and imply that the Big Ten is tougher than what SMU has said, then maybe you have a...
I wonder with this, Gale and David and Kyle, we're going to get down to the bottom here. Are we overlooking some of these small conference teams that...
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, look, the problem, again...
Even F. Austin, it's tough to make the argument. Hold on.
It's a legitimate question. Stephen F. Austin, if you use Kyle Lamb's handy-dandy quality win calculator, has zero quality wins.
Right.
and they have the 340th ranked strength of schedule according to Pomeroy, which is actually worse than Utah's strength of schedule.
Now, are you implying, do you foresee that being a problem?
Well, for who? For Stephen F. Austin or Utah?
Yes.
I think it's definitely a problem for Stephen F. Austin. I honestly think there's only two teams that could even remotely be considered as bid stealers from the lower leagues, the mid-majors and lower. Louisiana Tech
is not one of them.
Hold on. Oh, yes, they are, Kyle. I don't think they should. I'm saying I don't think any of them are. But I'm saying if there were to be one, it would be Louisiana Tech or Green Bay, and that's it. Like, nobody else has even the barest of arguments at this point.
Because I am a caring person, I'm going to provide our audience with a very important nugget tonight on this show. Okay. I researched this. Louisiana Tech's overall strength of schedule right now is ranked 233rd in the country. In the past 20 years...
274th on Pomeroy.
Yeah, okay. So it's worse if you actually look at the power ratings.
Right.
Right now... As of the last 20 years, the worst strength of schedule rank to get an at-large bid is George Washington at 202 in 2006.
And they had one loss.
Yeah, and they had one loss. So if Louisiana Tech would shatter the record if they get an at-large bid this year. I don't think it's going to happen.
Hey, they beat St. Bonaventure on a neutral floor. That's got to count for something, you know?
Hey, they avoided the Olean trip. You don't even want to know what that's like.
Look, here's the issue.
Richmond against Clemson. Clemson's got the Duke chip.
But I feel like this year, can you agree
that one of those teams is going to steal a bid? Not that they should. They're going to pull something out of the hat here. I just have a feeling
they will.
That one seed is going to surprise people.
The one seed or the bubble team?
I think the fourth number one seed is going to be a surprise somehow. Maybe it's Wichita State, even if they have a loss. Or something weird like that. And I feel like they're going to pull one mid-major out of their hat, because otherwise, how many mid-majors are we going to have again in this tournament? It's a handful.
I mean, it is an interesting point from a diversity standpoint. There just aren't that many mid-majors that are in competition right now. I guess if we're classifying the Atlantic 10 as a mid-major again, I thought we'd stop doing that. But You know, there's just not that many that are really in contention, because you go down the list, like Dayton keeps shooting themselves in the foot every time they have a chance at something good happening to them. They to me seem to be the best option, but you know, because they're 17-8, but they've got three terrible losses. Yeah. And they're only 58th in the Pomeroy ratings. They've won four in a row, which is nice. They beat George Washington. But really, their season's going to come down to their last four games. They've got St. Joe's on the road, UMass at home, St. Louis on the road, and Richmond at home. Now, if they win those four, yes, they'll be in the tournament, but I think they'll probably lose three of those four.
For what it's worth, for those of you that follow the dance card, you know, it's not a perfect measure, but it is interesting. St. Joe's and Richmond both, you know, the dance card have both of them getting bids so far. Louisiana Tech, by the way, according to the dance card, 0% chance of a bid. Just saying.
Well,
it's interesting because it feels like the A-10 really, the unbalanced schedule really is what hurts them, because UMass has such an advantage over the rest of the conference in terms of scheduling, and at the same time, UMass has started to falter. Like,
well, that's
the thing.
Taking
advantage of it.
UMass has an advantage, but they've made it fair in the spirit of a balanced schedule by losing a lot of games.
It's very bad ones that are not televised.
Kyle pulled his dance card out, so I'm going to pull out the Crashing the Dance website, which is one of my favorite source for this sort of thing. Crashing the Dance, their last six teams in right now are Missouri, Oregon, Baylor, St. Joe's, BYU, and Richmond. And they're
That I want all of them instead of Clemson?
Their first six out are Tennessee, Dayton, Nebraska, Providence, Florida State, and Georgetown, which... And actually, St. John's is their eighth team out. So,
I mean,
there's just some teams I look at and I really question what to do with. The West Virginia is a great example.
I had them in.
I had them pretty safely in at this point.
I had them safely in too, but the Crashing the Dance thing had them out by a significant margin. Kyle, what did the dance card have?
Let me pull that up because that's a good question. The dance card has West Virginia right now out by six spots actually.
Yeah, and so I'm starting to wonder about that. I mean, West Virginia, they've got some good wins. They've beaten Iowa State, Oklahoma, Kansas State. They won at Baylor, which doesn't look that good right now. They have one bad loss, and it's at Blacksburg. But overall, they've
which
played...
was a friggin' like the no, first game of the year for them, or the second.
It was like a second game of the
Since
year.
We're on the subject, actually, the dance card, the last four in, Nebraska, BYU, Oregon, Dayton, the first four out, Oklahoma State, SMU, NC State, and Tennessee.
This is why you're pimping the dance card, because they've got Nebraska in. I see how it is.
Well, that certainly helps.
That just makes them right, Galen.
So, I don't know.
Corn!
I mean,
Yeah,
that's right. I don't think there's no clear consensus on any of these lower reach teams, but I feel like, you know, even if you've decided, hey, I'm going to value road record or I'm going to value strength of schedule, there are just simply not enough teams that have any one of those criteria to fill the rest of your field. So you end up having to grasp for straws with the rest of what's available. And that's what I was running into. Frankly, that's what I've run into in every bracket I've done so far this year. And, you know, by this point, I feel like in past years, it's evened out a bit. And this year, it really doesn't seem like it's evened out. If anything,
there's way too much that needs to even out. Like,
I mean, if you
we're
think,
not talking about the last four. We're talking about the last eight at-large spots.
I mean, think about in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, really. Let's say 4 weeks. There are five teams that have crashed completely out of the field that were safely in. And there's another four that are ready to crash out that were safely in. Florida State was one. I was like, they'll be in no problem. Now, I mean, after today, they're almost certainly not in. And it's just like, I mean, how do you handle this?
On a personal level, I think we're overrating Florida State's resume, and we're still underrating Oklahoma State's. I know Oklahoma State is literally and figuratively a train wreck right now, but
yeah,
if they can pull this thing out of Baylor. Like I said, the games without Marcus Smart is almost house money for them, you know, or were house money for them, you know, in retrospect. Where if they pull one of those games out without him, that's only a benefit. If they don't get him without him, he's obviously these are games where they weren't the team they're going to have in the tournament. unless he goes and just punches another fan, which admittedly I can't rule out.
He didn't punch him, he shoved him. Come on.
Yeah. All right, if he, yeah, and I actually kind of supported him more than most people. If he goes and then punches a fan,
that's fair enough.
Then maybe it's different. But I think what people are just, the story, the sensational nature of what happened, I mean, Oklahoma State, they aren't losing to bad teams here. They did a lot early in the season. I think people are way too eager to throw them out of the
But the problem, we'll talk about future games after this, but the problem is not that people are underrating their resume, Lee, in my opinion. The problem is that they've lost 6 games in a row. They're 4 games under 500 in a conference. And if, you know, I always do the bracket as if the draw was happening today. I don't know that I could justify putting a team in that had lost 6 in a row and was 4 games under 500 in a conference that wasn't the top conference in the country. I don't see how you do that.
Oklahoma State has 1 loss outside the RPI top 50. 1. I feel like the losses that they are losing, right, the games they are losing right now are to quality teams, and most of them are actually away from home. I mean, there are a few that they lost at home. I just feel like Oklahoma State, the schedule they played, they're losing to teams that a lot of teams would be losing. I don't know that it's proportionate to what other teams are having to play right now.
And if you're, folks, if you're at home looking for something, we got 6 minutes to go on ESPN. Yeah. Baylor's crept back into this in some. You know, I wish Baylor would wear brighter jerseys.
Yeah, I did.
They found a way to have green numbers on green jerseys and have them be very easy to read numbers because the jerseys are very, very neon.
Yeah, the lights are...
Oklahoma State by 1, but Baylor's going to line 50-49, so not exactly the up and down track meet that the media would have you think these two teams play.
The lights aren't even on in the arena. It's just Baylor's jerseys that are illuminating the place.
And poor Phil Forte, they just ran the highlight package. He's going to need an ice bath tonight. The kid is just... Not even like dirty plays. He has attacked the hole to his credit, tried to be Marcus Smart. Hasn't had a good shooting night, but he's just getting beat up, and he's got him in the lead, though, with under 60.
Okay, we got him. Go ahead, David. Last word before we move to the...
Well, I was just going to see, what do you think of the Big East? I mean, Nova and Creighton are very, very far in, probably easily protected seed, but it's log-jammed. I think one game separates third from seventh, and then you have the crap at the bottom, but... How many Big East teams made your field?
7.
7 Big East teams.
Yeah, I had all 7. I had Creighton, Villanova.
Are you serious?
I had Creighton, Villanova, Xavier, Marquette, St. John's, Providence, and Georgetown.
Like 3 right now.
The only third one I would put in is actually Providence.
The third one I'd put in is Georgetown.
Yeah, I could see that. Marquette, I don't even know how big the field would have to be. What in Marquette are you seeing? That is an awful call. What are you seeing with Marquette?
Well, okay, Kyle just got through lauding Oklahoma State on their losses and the quality of their losses. Look at Marquette's losses.
Yeah, they have a win that's good, at least one.
Well, they beat Xavier. That's at least a starting point.
They beat Memphis by a zip code.
And they beat Georgetown. They beat Georgetown. They beat Providence at home. I'm simply saying, at this point, given the rest of the crap that's at the... I wasn't happy about putting Marquette in. But
how are they not in your first 4?
I will say this in Galen's defense.
They are in my bottom 4.
I will say this in Galen's defense. The only 2 losses outside the RPI top 50 that Marquette has right now is at St. John's and at Butler. Every other loss is top 50 loss.
It's apparently terrible charge night in Waco.
Yeah. as far as the other ones, I think Georgetown, I mean, obviously the Michigan State win is a very good one. I'm not terribly impressed with a lot of their other wins, but the Kansas State and VCU wins look better now.
Do they? I mean, the VCU win, like for Virginia, is starting to creep from, lost to a good team to, they lost on a last-second shot territory.
I don't know.
I like VCU, but...
I mean, who is VCU? I mean, VCU in conference has lost to George Washington on the road, St. Joe's on the road, and St. Louis on the road. There's no shame in any of those losses.
Right. And if... I don't know, Galen, you probably want to move on. I wanted to talk about St. Louis, but I don't know if we have time.
I want to make a general statement. This isn't going to take long. Look, the 4 of us are usually pretty close to being on the same page. I have never seen us this far off on the bubble before. We
are guarantees that St. Mary's will be the last team in.
How about, I will say, in defense of the St. John's selection, they've won five in a row and eight of their last nine. They beat Creighton by five, so more than one possession. They beat Georgetown. They won at Providence by 10. They're playing very well. They've only got one really bad loss. Granted, it's a tremendously bad loss. It was at DePaul.
As bad as losing at Texas Tech, though. I'll say that in your defense.
That's
which
true.
Is a thing that happened that people forget because of what happened at the end of the game. But Oklahoma State lost at Texas Tech in men's basketball this year.
Yes,
that's the thing that happened. As much as I joked about the St. John's thing being ridiculous 2 weeks ago, I don't think it's ridiculous now. I like them more than I like Marquette.
Yeah.
I like them as much as I like Georgetown.
I think they're a better team than Marquette. I don't think they have a better profile.
Well, you know what, Kyle? They're definitely more athletic than Marquette and everybody else in college basketball. So, anyway, let's charge through some quick previews of games coming up the rest of the week. Tomorrow night, Villanova at Providence. Villanova licking its wounds coming out of Omaha, just a thrashing at the hands of Creighton. So they head to the Dunkin' Donuts Center. Lee, you like the Cats in this game, or do the Friars get it done?
I think the Friars might get it done. I mean, Bryce Cotton is turned it on in the second half of the year. He's getting no publicity, but he's been one of the best guards in the country. He's been outstanding for a Providence team, really shorthanded. They've been very tough at home for the most part. I actually think Providence we'll get this one in more of a market correction from Villanova. As much as I think Creighton has their number, I do think, kind of like with Wisconsin, outside of Creighton, I think Villanova's a little due for a course correction here. But, yeah. I mean, Wisconsin, by the way, has bounced back very nicely from coming back to the pack. But now they're undervalued being overvalued.
Yeah, they're the new underrated team at this point.
But I like Providence in this one. I think they're actually on a really nice late season chart. I don't like the league as a whole, but I think Providence has been very. That is a freaking huge shot by Oklahoma State. You got to put this game on.
I can't. Anyway, I'm in the kitchen. I can't watch it right now. Kyle, Texas
just hit his fourth three on 10 attempts.
Gentlemen.
Kyle, Texas checks into the Ames Hilton tomorrow night. What's your thoughts on this contest?
This Iowa State team is too inconsistent for me to go too strongly, but I really like the way Texas is playing right now. I thought West Virginia would go down to Austin, the Irwin Center, and pull out a win, and Texas just handled them from start to finish. I like this Longhorn team. I think they're going to go in and beat Iowa State. I won't be shocked either way, but I think they get it done.
And I gotta be honest, I think Rick Barnes should get some Coach of the Year kit. Like,
No.
He should be.
What the hell? It's funny. I disagree with both of your guys' picks. I think Villanova and Iowa State win these games. But anyway,
we're the ones making the weird picks, so don't.
I'm the one that put Marquette in my field, so I guess I can't say anything. David Griggs, Andy Kennedy has his Super Bowl tomorrow as Kentucky comes to Oxford to take on Ole Miss. Thoughts about that contest?
You have seven Big East teams in the field.
Yes.
You didn't say which field.
This is why I shouldn't be out partying with you all night, David.
Right. I like Kentucky. I mean, Ole Miss is formidable at home. It wouldn't shock me if they won, but I just think that Kentucky's a better team. I know they're coming off a loss to Florida, but Florida is really good, and Ole Miss is not.
Ole Miss is going to win this game and go on a late-season run and somehow get in this thing.
I think
Kentucky... they're going to knock out one of the seven Big East teams. That Galen has in his field.
I think Kentucky would win this game, but there's too many media members rooting for Ole Miss. So Ole Miss ends up winning this contest. Kyle, Iowa travels to Assembly Hall tomorrow night to take on the Hoosiers. We've seen Fran McCaffrey come undone in some key road contests. Does he keep it together long enough for Iowa to pick up the victory?
Oh, good grief. I actually think Indiana wins this. I think they're going to win this and end up turning around and lose to Nebraska next week. But, you know, it has that kind of feel, doesn't it?
It does. Well, it's funny because Lee and
no
I were...
shame in losing to one of the best teams in the Big Ten.
Lee and I were talking about this earlier. Nebraska now has to win at Indiana to make it into the NCAA tournament because it would be too bad of a loss if they didn't win that game. But
the coaching contrast in that.
Yeah, I will say this. I think that you know, as bad as Indiana has played, this is exactly the sort of game that they're kind of built to win. Because I think Iowa's still Iowa doesn't yet, to me, have the air of a team that can go in and win anywhere. Like, there's just – there's something a little bit off about them. I mean, they've won some very big games, without question, but there's just – I don't know. There's something about them in a high-pressure situation I still question. They need to get that fixed before the tournament. I don't know that they get it fixed before
tomorrow.
Well,
and they've got Wisconsin coming up here next week, and I kind of think they might be looking ahead because suddenly they're in the Big Ten championship race. And yeah. I just think this is a really big trap game right now.
Yeah, I agree. Lee, sneaky important game in the A-10, George Washington at Richmond. George Washington,
great game.
I still think is safely in the field at this point. I think they've played their way in. They've played well enough to justify. They could really use a nice road win, though, to cement that. Richmond really needs this game. Who do you like?
I like Richmond at home. I think that they're due for a one to get a win at home that they can really hang their hat on. Besides UMass, but I love the George Washington team, but I also have a sneaky feeling they might get screwed on Selection Sunday if they don't get this game.
Yeah, it's
there's
quite
not
possible.
A lot of opportunities. They're a team that I don't think is getting nearly enough love nationally, and I really like them. But I think Richmond at home is too tough for them.
A couple of other ones, real quick, David, on Wednesday night, Arizona at Utah. Utah absolutely needs a victory of quality if they want to bolster what are some pretty shaky tournament credentials. I think they can get it done against the Wildcats?
I actually think they can get it done, and I don't think it will help them because I think they're so far out it doesn't matter.
Okay, but
I
do think
they're gonna... really?
Yes,
well,
really.
Have you seen their strength?
I pointed this out. Like, I mean, Utah is only 4 wins away from having 5 road wins. So, I mean,
yeah, exactly. Kyle, potential trap game here. Creighton traveling to Marquette. Maybe a little bit of a letdown for the Blue Jays here?
Yeah, I mean, you can only score 100 points and shoot 50% from the field in so many games, right? I mean, it has to be a letdown. I think
we've said that for the last 25 games, to be fair.
Well, that's true.
I mean, and what's important, these are 2 of the 7 teams from the Big East.
Hey, but you know, if Marquette beats Creighton, suddenly my prediction looks a lot better. That's all I'm going to say.
God,
I will
say, put the ball in at that point.
One thing, are we underestimating Creighton as a national title contender? We talked about this a couple of weeks
ago. I don't think so.
No? Lee?
No. Now with that defense.
I don't think they're in my top 5, but I don't get why they're not getting any discussion as it. I mean, I feel like the Dougie McBuckets thing has taken up too much of the discussion.
Right.
The rest of the team's pretty good. It's not nearly on his level. I can totally see them in the Final 4.
Offensively, I think they are absolutely legit. I just don't think they have the defense capable of winning a national title.
Well, I mean, that's why what will probably be your undoing the team, that if Greg McDermott shoots like a regular human being at some point. But I think they could get there. Yes, we've seen guys get streaky and single-handedly carry teams into the Final 4. I rooted for one of them.
Somehow Indiana State made the national title game with Larry Bird, and trust me, his teammates were worse than McDermott's teammates. Much worse. So, anyway, should be a fun week. Couple of the trap games down the line. Michigan State traveling to Purdue on Thursday. That will be one that's of interest. The other one that's of interest on Thursday, Gonzaga at BYU. BYU not looking too terrible right now as an at-large contender after that win at St. Mary's.
Are they in better shape than Gonzaga?
Just because of the difference, but BYU is going to get a serious look. I mean, we kind of got into this on the email thread today. I think the committee really seems to reward teams that play a tough out-of-conference schedule and that go on the road.
Yeah.
And sometimes I've gotten the feeling in the past that they've made some selections simply to prove a point and left others out. And if you kind of believe in conspiracy theories, which I don't, except the ones that I believe in, you know,
which is a, BYU, which is in and of itself a conspiracy theory. But go ahead.
Yeah, BYU fits that profile of a team that the committee would select if they're trying to prove a point.
I mean, they played 15 of their 28 games on the road, and you know, that's not bad. And they do; they have a road win at Stanford, they have a road win at St. Mary's, and they have a neutral court win against Texas. Like that. Yes. Those the only reason I say that Gonzaga's in better shape is that Gonzaga has beat them head to head in their one game.
Yeah, so no, I think Gonzaga's in better shape, but BYU. Not only the things you mentioned, Galen, but they'd have the sixth-rated non-conference strength of schedule.
Yes.
I think BYU, if it were to end today, would get an at-large bid.
I do as well. I actually really like their profile. I think it's underrated. I don't think that they're a provable point team for the committee just because seeding them is so much more difficult for good reasons.
That was going to be my next point. I mean, does the committee want to prove a point about how you shouldn't make it so difficult to bracket?
Oh, I'm going to step away from this one.
Yeah, I think we're going to close the show on that note, actually.
On Saturday, I come here and you guys don't even talk about UConn Memphis. I mean, that was one of the best games I've ever attended. It was such a good game that Josh Pastor was a great coach in it.
He was.
Phenomenal stuff out of
that timeouts. Would have been a great dunk.
I didn't say anything because I assumed you'd get back and you'd take over the email thread talking about it.
Oh, my God. It was just a wonderful basketball game. I hope UConn's not in the conference long enough where it becomes a rivalry, but if they play games like that, it's going to become one real quick.
You'll both.
A surprising number of Memphis fans there that there were any. More Memphis fans there than a lot of the Big East teams sent fans to UConn in the past, by the way.
Yeah.
And just a great game, although – if I'm Memphis, you got to be concerned that Shaq Goodwin didn't have his way with UConn in either game. Actually looked pretty bad, pretty pedestrian.
It doesn't compare to the Central Florida rivalry.
Throw the records out. It was just a great game in Hartford, a big win for UConn. I don't think it's a bad loss at all for Memphis. Finding a way to lose at Temple, which now I'm terrified about UConn going to Thursday, but I don't think it's physically possible, yet SMU did it. I think that it's a big loss for both UConn and Memphis as they try and climb up the five-team conference that is the American Conference.
We have an Oklahoma State in progress.
I'm going to end the show so I can go watch the end of the game. Anyway, thanks for joining us on the Bracket Racket, folks. We'll be back on Sunday with more college basketball talk. As always, we really enjoy having the chance to speak with you, and we look forward to doing it next week. Anyway, the ice cream's here. We got to let Lee go. So for Lee Delvecchio, for Kyle Lamb, for David Griggs, I'm Galen Clavio. We'll catch you next week. So long, everybody.